Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Now, this happens to go right along with the study that we're doing in the book of Proverbs. And we've been, now that we're in Proverbs chapter 11, we've actually really slowed down and we're dealing with sometimes just one verse at a time because the entire proverb is so profound, it really needs plenty of time for you to be able to understand it. In this case, we're going to deal with three verses, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, and here they are. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So in those three verses, you're dealing with a similar subject. What you're dealing with is what to do with wealth. And it really doesn't make any difference whether you have a little wealth or a lot of wealth, as you'll see by studying out the cross references today. The general principle is you increase it by giving it away. Now, that's a strange principle, because you would think the way to increase it is to save a good bit of it. And I realize in looking at this, it seems to be a strange principle, but nonetheless, though it be strange, it is tried and it is true. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to break these three proverbs down into six different things and study each one of them alone. And each one is going to show us just a little bit more information than the other one. And together, they're all going to show us a complete picture based upon these three verses of what we can expect from the Lord as it concerns our wealth. Now, the first thing we're going to see is this. Withholding is the best way to decrease it. Withholding it is the best way to decrease it. The next thing we're going to see is this. Withholding it is the best way to be cursed. The next thing we're going to see is scattering it is the best way to increase it. Liberality is the best way to fatten. Watering is the best way to be watered. And selling is the best way to be blessed. Those six things are included in these three verses. All right, now look, withholding is the best way to decrease. Notice what he says. We're going to take the negative first, and then we'll look at the positive. In verse 24, he says, there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now notice, when he says withholdeth more than is meet, what he's talking about is meat there is like a match. In other words, there's a certain amount that should be withheld, but when you withhold more than that, then that tendeth to poverty. In other words, before we delve right into one of these examples, savings, you know, like building up a savings account or something like that, that is a good principle, and that's a smart thing to do, but you can go too far with it. Withholding more than is meet tendeth to poverty, you see. So withholding is the best way to decrease. In other words, once a man withholds up to a certain point in his savings, then what can happen in his, speculation in his savings and so forth like that is that thing can actually begin to go down. Let me give you an example. Consider the strange story of a fellow named Alex Miller and his wife Imogene Miller. They both lived in Vermont. Now, what happened to them is they lived on a farm, and it was a small farm, and it literally looked like they were living hand-to-mouth. As a matter of fact, whenever Alex had to build something on the property, or if he had to repair something on the property, he would use rusty nails from burnt buildings and from fallen-down barns. He drove a VW, and I mean, it was nasty-looking. And then when the VW Beetle no longer ran, then he'd get another one. And it didn't make any difference how bad that one looked, and it didn't make any difference how poorly it ran. He'd run it till it ran completely out. And then when he'd run them out, he'd just leave them there in his yard. And so, literally, he had a beetle graveyard, you know, right there at his house. Well, Alex died in 1993, and his wife Imogene died in 1996. And when they died, the people felt so sorry for him that a local church took up a collection so that they could be buried there at the church. And then the state moved in, and they took possession of the farm because they were going to sell whatever little possessions and meager possessions they could find for taxes, and they were also going to sell the farm for taxes. Now, that's when things really turned strange, because once they went into the property and started looking inside all the little old sheds and the little old barns that he had around there, you know what they found? They found old cars and old parts from the cars, and these cars were from the 20s and from the 30s. I'm not even familiar with the names of the cars. I think Stutz was some of the names of the cars. And they were sold. Some of them were sold for $50,000. Some of them were sold for $115,000. Others were sold for prices in between those two numbers, and some for a few lower if they weren't in good shape. And that sale yielded literally millions of dollars in assets that they had accumulated and hidden in those barns. Now, the reason they did it is that they didn't want anybody to know that they had that kind of wealth. Well, sure enough, because they hadn't been paying taxes and all those kind of things, when they died and all these things were sold, well, you know, the IRS certainly got a huge portion of the money for taxes, since the Millers, you know, hadn't paid taxes on whatever the value of their wealth was, and the state got some. And, you know, the strange thing about it was they had withheld all of the value of these assets and yet died as paupers, and their value of their assets decreased and diminished by huge proportions because of the taxes they had failed to pay over the years. Withholding is literally the best way to decrease. But the Bible also shows us that withholding is the best way to be cursed as well. Look in verse 26. He says here, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him." Now, what are you talking about there? Well, what's happening here is a situation where, for instance, you have a country, and the country is going through some really desperately hard times, and people are suffering, maybe as the consequence of a plague, or as a consequence of a pestilence, or as the consequence of war, or as the consequence of a drought, something like that, something unusual, where the people ordinarily could take care of themselves, but under those unusual circumstances, they're really suffering. Now, the monarchy, you know, the king and queen and the family, other leaders and rulers of the country, they continue to fare well during the terrible plague or during the aftermath of the war or during the drought because they have the means. They're rich. But the poor people and the people that have maintained a living by working their land, by working their jobs and that kind of thing, they suffer and starve nearly to death because the people who have a great deal of wealth that could help them during the unusual time won't let go of the corn that they've got stored up. And it's not as if these people are expecting them to give it away. Notice the context. It says, "But the blessing should be upon the head of him that selleth it." In other words, they'd be willing to sell anything, maybe even their own lands, to buy something to eat, but these hoard it. Well, you know what he said? He said, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him." Shall curse him. Now, notice something as an example. Look here in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, look at verse 19. All right, in Luke 16, verse 19, you've got a case like this. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." You see that? You'll go to the restaurant and sometimes they'll talk about the fare, and they're not talking about the price you pay. They're talking about what's on the menu. Fared sumptuously every day. This man ate well. All right, in verse 20 of Luke 16, "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table." So Lazarus wasn't asking the man to give him a handout of a loaf of bread or of a ham sandwich or of something that he had inside the house there. He said, you finish your meal, and when you get ready to throw out food that you're not going to eat, you're emptying the refrigerator of leftovers that you don't want anymore, or you've cleaned up crumbs on the table after the meal, stuff that's just going to go into the disposal or into the trash can, give that to me. I'll eat that. It won't put you out a dime. You're going to get rid of it anyway. That's all that Lazarus wanted. And the rich man wouldn't feed him. Well, what happened is that it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That poor rich man died and went to hell. You talk about a curse. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. I mean, this went beyond the people cursing him. It went all the way to the Lord. That guy was so insensitive to the needs of that poor beggar, he wouldn't even let him have the trash that he was getting ready to throw out just so he could feed himself. And he was cursed. Look over here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We read of a rich young ruler. And he came up to the Lord in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, and said, hey, you know, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the Lord told him to keep the commandments. And the young man said, well, I've done all that. He said, but what lack I yet? Well, when he did that, the Lord went to the root of the young man's problem. He was a rich man. And in his particular case, he was covetous. And the only way that he was going to break it is to get rid of the wealth and follow the Lord. And the Lord said, if you'll do that, I'll give you treasure in heaven. He said, distribute that wealth to the poor. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich, and he walked off. And the Bible says, the Lord said, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And what he was talking about there, according to Mark, is that he was talking about a man that would trust his riches to take care of him in eternal life. Now let me tell you something. That young man went away sorrowful because he missed out on eternal life. He was cursed. He wound up in hell. You know what both of these men are? They're the men that are like Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And that rich man that fared sumptuously every day was rich, but he had nothing. He wound up with nothing, and he wound up in hell. The other rich man also walked away from eternal life. And we can conclude that he wound up in hell because he rejected the offer of eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, it also says, there is that maketh himself poor like Lazarus was, or maketh himself poor like the beggar could have done, and yet hath great riches. The Lord told that rich man, if you give that stuff away to the poor, I'll let you have treasure in heaven. You know what he could have done? He could have sent it on ahead, and he wouldn't do it. Now take, for instance, by contrast, little Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, you know, the short little man, he was host to the Lord Jesus Christ at a meal. And during the meal, Zacchaeus realized the error that he had made in accumulating so much wealth at the expense of other people. So Zacchaeus stood up during the meal in Luke 19, verse 8, and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, you couldn't get saved in the New Testament by giving your wealth away like any of these three examples. Although Luke is in the New Testament, Jesus Christ hadn't died on the cross yet. And so when Zacchaeus said that and the Lord said, salvation has come here, you know what had happened? Zacchaeus had followed what you're reading about here. He said, you know what I need to do? I need to get rid of about half of this stuff and let these other people have it, and I'll quit worrying about it. And you know what happened there? He didn't withhold because he didn't want to be cursed. So withholding is the best way to decrease. You can actually hold on to money so long that it becomes such a passion with you that you deny yourself the necessities of life. You know, how many times have you read stories about people that stored it all inside the studs of the wall for fear that somebody else would get it and died eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because they were undernourished, they died sooner than they should have, and never had the benefit of the wealth? Withholding is the best way to decrease. Withholding is the best way to be cursed. All right, well, enough of the bad news. Look at some of the good news that's in here as well, because there are four things about it. The first thing is, scattering is the best way to increase. Scattering is the best way to increase. Look what he says in verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. All right, now what are we talking about there? Well, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 6. What happens with Christians a lot of times is that the Lord will bless you financially. And the reason is that he wants to use you not as a hoard or a dead end, but he wants to use you as a conduit. That is, he wants to give it to you so that you can turn around and give it to others. You know, when the Bible talks about give and it should be given unto you, that verse, which is in Luke chapter 6, says that men shall give to you. You know, when it says give and it should be given unto you, look what he says. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. All right. If men are going to give into your bosom, then there are men who are as conduits. That is, God blesses them so they can give it to you and blesses you so you can give it to others. Scattering is the best way to increase. He'll use you more as a conduit as you are generous with the funds that he gives you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 6. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that's true. I was talking to a fellow one time, and he talked about planting oats, and everybody in that area that he lived planted oats, and so he planted some in his little extended yards. In other words, he probably had 5 acres, and he wanted to green everything up in the wintertime, so he put his oats out there, but he sowed sparingly because he didn't know how much he was supposed to sow. And when his little crop came up, you know, it looked like a man with thinning hair. Everybody else had this very lush, beautiful oat crop, and he had, you know, what looked very sparse and very thin. So the next year, he decided he didn't want to have such a sparse-looking crop, so he doubled or tripled the amount of seed that he put out there. And, of course, then he had a very nice-looking oat crop for the winter. Point is that when a man sows sparingly, he reaps sparingly, and when he sows bountifully, he reaps also bountifully. Now keep reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. That's why we don't use pledge cards and things like that around here, because we don't want people to feel like they have to give grudgingly or of necessity. That's why we don't ever ask for any money on the radio broadcasts. That's why we don't have anything for sale, because we don't want you to feel like you have to do this in order to keep us on the air or to bail us out of a debt or to cover our expenses. Listen, man, you know, if God's not going to pay the bill through the ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church to put this out, then we won't be on the air anymore. It's just that simple. So not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, what are you reading there? Well, it's very simple. He says, when a man gives cheerfully, then God makes all grace abound toward that man. He didn't say all money, but all grace, so that you will have all sufficiency in all things, and he'll make you abound in every good work. That way, when you sow seed, then the Lord will give you seed to be able to sow again and multiply your seed sown. And at the same time, he'll also give you seed for your own food. He'll take care of your necessities and give you the opportunity to take care of others' necessities in greater proportion each successive harvest. Scattering is the best way to increase. Old Testament and New Testament. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you do that, you lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. People say you can't take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul attached to a hearse and those kind of things, and that's true. But he does say, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when you give it to the Lord, it is laid up for you, and it increases there. All right, scattering is the best way to increase, but liberality is the best way to fatten. Notice in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. All right, for that, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verses 1 through 5. The Bible says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, like a witness, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own souls, or their own selves, to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. So what's Paul telling you about the church in Macedonia? Well, they decided to take up a gift for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. That's what he mentioned in verse 4. When they started to take up these collections every Sunday, they went through their own trial of affliction. They experienced a famine of some sort, perhaps, and went into deep poverty. And while they were in that deep poverty and in that great trial of affliction, they did not curtail their offerings for the sake of the poor saints back in Jerusalem. And the reason they were able to continue to do that is because of the riches of their liberality. They were like the widow with two mites who gave all her living. They just gave it. And you know what they yielded? An abundance of their joy and the grace of God. And he said they did this because when they started this whole thing, they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So, you know what happened? Their liberality fattened them in joy. And I'll tell you something I've noticed about misers. Misers don't have joy. That's what I've noticed. I've seen it for years. And so have you. Misers do not have joy. You know what they're typically known as? Scrooge. All right? Scattering is the best way to increase because God will use you as a conduit and move it on ahead for you. Liberality is the best way to fatten, particularly in joy. And watering is the best way to be watered. Look in verse 25. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That is, when you are in a time of necessity, the best way to ensure that the Lord is going to continue to meet your personal needs is to continue to water on behalf of the Lord. In other words, when people meet with financial difficulty, most of the time they quit giving. And when they do, they dry up. But in this case, he said, if you need to be watered, the best thing to do is keep watering. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 11. There was a widow that was to take care of Elijah. And she was going to fetch a couple of sticks so she could build a fire to make two cakes, feed her and her son, and die. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her, that's Elijah, and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. In other words, feed me first. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You know what happened? She went ahead and took care of Elijah the way that the Lord wanted her to, and in so doing, she took care of her own house, and through the remainder of that famine, she and her son and Elijah always had something to eat with the meal that was in that barrel and the oil that was in that cruise. Watering is the best way to be watered. And then finally, selling is the best way to be blessed. Down here in verse 26, he says, "But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth." And basically, the illustration is Joseph in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 41, the country and all the surrounding countries went into a terrible, terrible famine. But Joseph knew it was coming and had gone ahead and saved up 7 years' worth of corn in Egypt. And then, as the famine continued and people could not get anything to eat, they went to Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, right there at the end, and he sold them whatever they needed. In other words, he didn't hoard it for the use of his own country and people. He let others have it according as they could pay. And that's the way they survived the seven-year famine. And do you know something? That Bible says, "Blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." And sure enough, as it got to the end of that famine, the people of Egypt said of Joseph, "Thou hast saved our lives." Joseph was blessed. Why? Because he took care of the people, even though they had to sell everything they had to eat. He took care of those people and didn't hoard it up just for Pharaoh and his people. He sold it to those folks and allowed them to live through the famine. And they said to Joseph, in the words of a blessing, "Thou hast saved our lives." So what did we learn today in this little lesson here in this three-verse proverb that we've looked at? Well, it's very simple. Withholding is the best way to decrease. A fair amount of savings is good. Too much, it can go against you. Withholding is the best way to be cursed, because there are times when people are going to need what you have and you're going to have to let go of it. Scattering is the best way to increase, because you'll be like a conduit and the Lord will always supply to make sure that you have to give to others as well. Liberality is the best way to fatten, particularly in things like joy. Watering is the best way to be watered, like the widow that took care of Elijah. And selling is the best way to be blessed, like Joseph in Egypt.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.